And there's a lot of confusion about some of the subject matter contained in this latter part of John chapter 5. This beautiful Veterans Day, cold Sunday morning, we're thankful to be in the house of God. We'll be teaching today out of St. John chapter 5. And we'll go to God in prayer before we teach. Father, we thank you for every privilege you give us to stand for your word. We're so thankful, Lord, that not only do you gave it, you preserved it from this generation forever. Lord, it's light to darkness. Lord, it's help to the helpless. Lord, it's a cure, Lord, for those that are dying. Lord, Father, if they could just receive this word, Lord, they can not only can be healed, but they can be healed everlastingly. It is truly the cure for the venom that's plaguing the world, the venom of sin. Help us today and bless our efforts today. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
St. John, we ended up stopping in verse 27 last time we taught. And that verse talking about authority. Jesus here commenting about the Father had given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man.
Yeah.
And we'll start teaching in verse 28. And he just right in the middle of that statement breaks into another subject. He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." And the world, they don't really think about what he's saying right here. They just go through every day like it's going to be just any other normal day. But one of these days, and I hate it that some people are going to be rudely interrupted, all of their texting, all their selfieing, all of their YouTubing, all of their blasphemy, all of their jokes and then stuff that they do. They made fun of that Dan, I can't remember his name, that hero there had the patch over his eye. They made fun of that veteran there on it.
Yeah.
On this Saturday Night Live. Crenshaw, maybe that's Dan Crenshaw. They made fun of him. But all of that laughter will stop. All of that unimportant, insignificant activity will stop. Jesus here just breaks the ice. He says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." On the clock of God, there's an hour coming. He said, in that hour, he said, "in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." Now that's not happened yet. And he said, "and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life," one resurrection, "and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now I want to stop because there's so much mention right there in those two verses. First of all, Jesus says this is coming. He said it's coming in an hour. It's going to come when they think not. It's going to come on a day just like any other day.
That's right.
Noah built an ark, and I'm sure they scorned and laughed and mocked at him after building that ark on that dry ground, saying, "Where's the water? What's the flood? It's never rained before." And yet in the hour that God had said it was going to flood, thanks to Noah moving with fear to the building of that ark, it allowed him and his family to escape the judgment, the destruction that God brought upon the earth because of sin.
Yeah.
8 souls were saved, everybody else died. This is in many ways just like that. There'll be mockers, the Bible said, in the last days, saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?" Well, his promise is still true. And he says right here, "Marvel not, the hour is coming."
Yeah.
"Which in the which all that are in the graves," I've passed by a lot of grave sites, "and every one of them is going to hear the voice of God."
Right.
They're not all going to hear it at the same time, but that bunch that hears it on the first time is going to be really glad. I've looked up several scriptures here to go with this lesson this morning. I'm going to take my time. But we can look real quick just in the subject matter of the resurrection. Look real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to be real discreet here because a lot of people get confused. They get mixed up. If I'm not careful, maybe the water might get muddy. But I want to use great plainness of speech. We've got a Bible here. It declares unto us exceeding great precious promises. It done told us what the end's going to be. God declared it. Not one jot or one tittle will fail from the promises of God.
That's
right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I only want to read two verses and stop just for the sake of clarity. Paul here is speaking to the church in Corinth in verse 51. He says, if you got a Scofield Bible over the top of verse 51, it says, all believers will not die.
Right.
The context of what he's saying right here is to believers. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now the reason it says sleep is because we have eternal life. And we cannot die. He says, we shall not all sleep. They stoned Stephen and he fell asleep. He didn't die.
That's right.
He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. This is an important verse. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Listen to these next words. And we shall be changed. The first resurrection, the believers that died in faith. Let me, before I go to Revelations, let me go to Hebrews chapter 11 here. They embraced the promise of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. All these died in faith. Now he just mentioned about Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Abel, and several others here, Jacob. He says, all these died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been, in verse 15, and truly, Hebrews 11, 15, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now I want to jump real quickly to Revelation chapter 20 and try my best to put some clarity about this first resurrection. Starting in verse 4, I'm leaving out about the devil here.
Yeah.
Starting in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. See, you have to compare Scripture with Scripture.
Right.
Jesus, when He would make a statement, He would quote Jeremiah, Isaiah, Psalms. Well, I'm doing about the same thing here. Revelation 20, verse 4. John, the Revelator, right here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is important. This is the first resurrection.
Right.
Notice verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now all of that is in reference to the first resurrection. And I thought it kind of worth mentioning. And it's just kind of like a hint. Is in Matthew chapter number 27 verse 52 at Calvary, when Jesus gave up the ghost. No man took his life. He laid his life down.
Right.
And he gave up the ghost. Verse 52, well, verse 51 says, after he yielded up the ghost, verse 50, verse 51 says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I thought about that. The Bible doesn't really speculate. It doesn't give any clarity. But can you imagine if Abraham, Moses, if Jacob, Elijah, Elisha, some of the great patriarchs got up out of the graves and went into Jerusalem and said, you should have listened to him. You shouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. No wonder so many turned to Peter and said, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you.
Yes.
But the two resurrections here that are mentioned, one of them is unto life, and the other one is the resurrection of damnation. And I don't want to be a part of that second resurrection. I want to be a part of that first resurrection. A lot of people, they say they can't believe that a loving God would condemn them to hell. That's true. He wouldn't.
No.
Sin will. A loving God stood between me and hell and kept me from ending up in that place called hell.
Right.
And believe it or not, if he hadn't have, I'd have made it. I was bound and determined to resist all of the efforts of God and to rebel against all the instruction of God. I was bound and determined to be like Frank Sinatra, to do it my way. But I'm glad the will of God was good toward me. Mm-hmm. Not only did He give His Son to pay for my sins, but He gave me space to repent of my sins.
Amen.
And He welcomed my prayer of repentance when I said, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm praying You'll forgive me. I'm praying You'll save me. I'm glad He abundantly pardoned me.
Amen.
Now to escape that second resurrection, all of those that think somehow they're going to be good enough to enter in, I'll just say this, they've all come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Anybody that can walk up alongside Jesus Christ and be as righteous as He is can certainly enter into heaven. And since no one can, including me, He had to give me His righteousness, and in Him I am complete. I'm completely saved.
Yeah.
I'm completely cleansed. I'm completely washed. I'm completely saved. In Him, I'm completely a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
We just had a vote in controversy. And they found out through this controversy, as they investigated, a lot of the votes were made by people that weren't U.S. citizens. And they got by with it.
Yeah.
But this won't be like that when it comes to standing before God. You better be a citizen of heaven or you won't go in.
Amen.
The Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows me. I know Him. I claim to know none other but Him. And I'm glad that I hope to escape even the first resurrection. Paul talked about we which are alive shall be caught up. We which in a moment twinkle of an eye will go with them as they get up out of that first resurrection.
Right.
And a lot of people would probably like to go like that. But I'll tell you one thing, either way I'm a going. Amen?
That's right.
But Jesus here mentions about another resurrection. And He says, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, I shouldn't leave out the Scripture concerning that. So I will read so people can understand how awful it's going to be if you miss out on that first resurrection. John again doing the writing here. This time he says, I saw a great white throne. Revelation 20 verse 11.
Yep.
And Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's nothing but a white throne. There's no heaven.
No.
There's no earth. There's a great white throne. One that sits upon it is greater than all. He's so great that the earth and the heaven flees from His face. He's to be dreaded. He's a God of love, but He's also a God of judgment.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about that fearful thing of falling into the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31 talks about God being a consuming fire. The last verse of Hebrews chapter 12, here He is now and He's ready to judge. Now here's the second resurrection. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. What books were they, Brother Eddie? Well, it could possibly be this very Bible that I'm teaching out of.
Yeah.
And it may be, because Jesus Himself said this about the Word of God. I think I missed it. I did. He said, think not that I'll judge you. Hold on a minute here. He said, there's another that'll judge you. There we go. My Bible stuck good. I got my new Bible. He says in St. John chapter 12, Jesus speaking here, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on Him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth Him that sent me. He said, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, this is important, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. God, as mighty as He is, can't save the world. The world is hell-bent.
Yeah.
The world is determined to die lost. He came to seek and save. He said, I came to save the world. Here's the conclusion of what He just said. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me, if you reject Jesus, if you receive not his word, he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's St. John chapter 12, verse 48. Back to Revelation chapter 20. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. There will probably be some people that will say, would you check and see if my name's in there? I've seen the play Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, and it's portrayed about the great white throne judgment. And I've seen people run up and get on their knees. Would you please check and see if my name's in there? And if it was, they got a thumbs up. And if it wasn't, they got a thumbs down. But that book of life, it's recorded in the book of life. Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice more that your name's written down in heaven. I'm glad my name's written there.
Yeah.
Said another book, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, not the book. Notice that. They're judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. A lot of people think they can work their way to heaven. I hear them, I'll be good enough one of these days. My good works outweigh my bad. I'll tell you right now, you better be careful when it comes to good works. There was a bunch come to Jesus one day and said, what good work shall we do that we may have eternal life? He said, this is the work, that you believe on him whom God sent. That's the work.
Right.
That's why Jesus said, if you reject me, you will receive damnation. You'll be judged guilty. But the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Notice this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Osama bin Laden going to come up. Going to stand before God. Old Blackbeard, the pirate. And all of them, no matter where they drowned in the ocean, they're coming up. People that have been drowned and killed. Good morning, Karen. They're all going to stand and they're all going to give an account. It says, and death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Here's singular again. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, Jesus here talking about two resurrections, and one of them is the resurrection unto damnation. I just heard this week where an MS-13 gang member got a young girl and stabbed her 13 times. I can't do that. But you see, since they have Satan for their father, and they don't really care or regard about anyone, including themselves, they'll do the unthinkable. And it took a young girl, and they videotaped it. They wanted to see her beg for her life. They wanted to see her life drained from her as they stabbed her 13 times. The last one was in the neck. And I can't repeat the other things they done to her. But I'll tell you right now, that's not the will of God.
No.
Over there hanging on that wall, God gave 10 laws to man. One of those laws said, thou shalt not kill.
That's right.
I thought about the other day driving home, going through the intersections, and I thought, without laws, how dangerous it'd be to go through an intersection. get run over by a Greyhound bus, 18-wheeler, or even an Amish buggy. Just because of laws, I have a green light that says you can go. I have a red light that says you need to stop. Those laws are important. Paul said, I had not known sin but by the law. Those laws of God are important. They're designed to help someone to realize they need to be saved.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of them, but they don't need to get rid of them. They need to give the most earnest heed to them. And this second resurrection, this hour that's on the calendar of God, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, it's not going to be good news for all of them. Some of them are going to wish that God would just leave them in the grave. Good morning, Sister Sharon.
Good morning.
I don't know if you can hear us outside now. We're pretty noisy this morning. But I'll tell you right now, this resurrection, the first one, I'm glad, praise God, if I was to go by way of the grave,
yeah.
The way I understand the body, I'll go straight to heaven.
Yeah.
My pastor said my spirit will be there. And he said we'll be joined with our body. I know flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, but I guess in similitude, I don't know. I just know this. I'm not going to be resurrected on the second resurrection. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm as good as heaven. I'm as good as in heaven right now, because I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because I'm part of the body of Christ. May not be much of the part, but I'm part of it. Amen.
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 Jesus tells the dilemma in verse 30. He said, I can't do nothing. You die in your sins, I'm going to have to judge you guilty. You remember what God told Israel in Exodus chapter 12. He said, take your lamb, bring it in. He said, kill it. He said, take the blood of that lamb. And he said, put it on each side of the doorpost.
Yeah.
Put it over the top. Right there is the picture of the cross. He said, when I come, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. I won't be judged. My Passover lamb,
right.
Christ Jesus, applied His blood to my sins. When the death angel comes, I'm glad that he has to pass over me. I'm glad he can lay no claim to me. I'm glad nobody can lay no claim to God's elect. It's God that justifies. But Jesus said, as I see, I judge. If there's no blood, they're going to be judged guilty.
Yes.
Correct.
That's clear as mud to some people, but it's crystal clear to me. I realized that the day I got saved, when all my condemnation and my guilt left, and the peace of God took its place, I realized there was something about being saved that was real. It makes me sleep better, enjoy the day better. I tell you what, I don't have a fearful look under judgment. I've got a blessed hope that my Savior is going to show up. And thanks to Jesus, praise God, going to this precious place called heaven. Jesus, in this firm warning here, He says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which have sent me. Here He gives credentials of the will of God. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He said, there's another that beareth witness of me. You remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus?
Yeah.
The heavens were opened unto him. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove and lit upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's some of the witness he's talking about here.
Amen.
He said, I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Now we got fourfold witness to Jesus in these next verses. If you've got a Scofield Bible, you'll see one of them is the witness of John the Baptist. You'll see the second one is the witness of the works that Jesus did. The third one is the witness of the Father Himself. And the fourth one is the witness of the Scriptures. We got plenty of witnesses. Great cloud of witnesses. Jesus says, "You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." John said, "Behold the Lamb," twice. He pointed to Jesus as being the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Verse 36, Jesus said, "I got greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father have sent me." The Jews was going to stone Jesus. And he said, "For what good work will you stone me?" And they said, "For a good work we stone thee not. But because thou sayest you're equal with God." He couldn't lie.
That's right.
I mean, he was. But they couldn't get it neither. They were blinded by self-righteousness and indignation, and they hated him, but they hated him without a cause. Verse 37, the witness of the Father. He said, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape, and yet ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent Him, ye believe not." That's a pretty strong rebuke. Jesus said, "You don't have the word of God in you." He said, "You haven't believed what God said. You haven't believed the witness of God." He says, verse 39, and this is about as good a conclusion as you can come up with. Right. He said, "Search the Scriptures." I work with people that are many different faiths. I work with a man that's a Mormon. I work with a man that's a Jehovah's Witness. And I'll take this very Scripture right here, and I'll confront them. And I'll say, "Search the Scriptures."
Right.
All of those Scriptures that you think somehow defend what you believe are made a null by the Word of God. There's only one thing that lines up with the Word of God, and that's truth. It will not stand for nothing but truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them," a lot of people fit this category, "they think they have eternal life." He goes on to say, "And the very ones that they think give them eternal life are misapplied." He says, "And they are they which testify of me." The very Scriptures that they use to condone what they believe.
Yeah.
Are the very Scriptures that are making reference to Jesus.
That's right.
It's a sad day that we've come down to a day of so much technology, so many means to convey truth, and yet we got so many people that are blind, leaders of the blind.
Oh, yeah.
They cannot know, they wouldn't know. There's like Pilate that looked truth right in the face and said, "What is truth?" That's the world we're living in.
That's right.
Where we have all of these advantages. We have all of these means. Daniel mentioned about in the last days, knowledge would be increased. And yet God said in the last days there'd be a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the Word of God. And Jesus here talks about that kind of. He said they believe something. They've heard something. It's been passed down to them. And they're holding it dear. And yet He warns those that are in that category. He says, "Search the Scriptures. For in them," the Scriptures, "ye think ye have eternal life, and they are really the very Scriptures which testify of Him." If that's not enough, verse 40 makes it even more bold. And he says, and ye, which is the plural of you, all of you is summed up in those two little letters, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They'll go to another.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if another comes in his name, you'll believe him, you'll receive him.
Right.
One thing about searching the scriptures, and I do recommend that you do. In Acts chapter 17, the Bereans, they searched the scriptures. It talks about they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's Acts 17, verse 11. Not much of that going on today. People are lazy today. I studied the Bible for 17 years. About as hard as I guess I've ever studied anything in my entire life. I studied it with zeal. I studied it with a quest or desire to know more about the one that forgave me, that died for me,
yes,
that saved me. I studied it because it was a passion that I had to find out why he would do such a thing and realize there was no other way. There was no other way except for him to die. I couldn't even die for my own sins.
Right.
I could suffer for eternity for my own sins, but I couldn't pay the price for my sins. And through 17 years of faithful study, I realized he came to pay a debt he did not owe. And I owed a debt I could not pay, and it gave me the message of love and how great that love was that was extended to me through a nail-pierced hand that said, if you'll take my hand, I'll forgive you, I'll save you, I'll keep you,
yeah,
I'll bless you,
right,
I'll love you, I'll help you. And I took that hand.
Amen.
God said, all the day long, I've stretched out my hand. And no man regarded. That's a sad commentary.
Yes, it is.
They'll go to man. I just seen on Fox News this morning, they gave just a little bit of time. Man had a brain tumor, Karen. He wasn't worried about it. He's a good, saved Christian man. But he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I got bad news. You've got a sizable brain tumor on the back of your skull back here. He was suffering being dizzy. And he said, I don't know how long you got. He said, well, I'm not worried about it. He said, well, you ought to be. He said, well, I'm not. He said, well, why aren't you? He said, I'm saved and ready to go. The doctor got mad at that statement. He said, I'm going to send you to a specialist. This man went to a specialist and he got pretty much the same reception. And he said, well, sir, if I thought you could help me, he said, I'd put some confidence in you. But he said, I'm trusting in the one that created me, that saved me. And you know what? For them two doctors' amazement, this man was marvelously, wondrously, completely healed. Completely. And they took an x-ray before, and there's this big mass right there at the back of his head. And then they took another, and there's nothing there. That'd be easy for me, because I ain't got much of a brain anyway. And he got to give testimony this morning on Fox News. They gave me quite a bit of time. He said, I just want to give my Lord and my Savior all the praise, all the glory. Mm-hmm. Now, you can spend a fortune. There are some people that are so anti-God,
yeah,
that they even allowed their head to be cut off and frozen with nitrogen for the hopes of maybe one day, scientific breakthrough, they might be able to put their head on another body and somehow come out and live again. I got a better offer. Praise God. I got an offer that said, come unto me,
yeah,
call upon me, and I'll show you great mighty things you know not. Hey, I got it all in him.
Yeah, that's right.
But the world, they'll go anywhere but to him. Jesus here using great plainness of speech. He says, you will not come to me that you might have life. You know, we got a fourfold witness right here. You got the witness of John the Baptist. You got the witness of the works that he done. You got the witness of the Father. You got the witness of the Scriptures. And still, they won't come to him.
Right.
Now, I know that God can heal me. Moses, God told him, he said, put your hand in your bosom. He did. He pulled it out and it was white as snow leopards. He said, put it back in again. He pulled it out and it was just like the other. I know God can do either one. He can afflict me right now.
Yeah.
He can kill me right now. I'm kind of like old Job, though he slay me. Yeah, well, I trust in him. I'll just tell you right now, no matter what, I'm going with God. I'm going all the way. I'm not trusting nothing but him. And I'll tell you right now, if it comes down to it, I'll be just like that man right there. I'll say, we got to get a second opinion. I want to see what the Lord says about this. Someone preaching one day said that the prophet Elijah come to Hezekiah, the king of Israel, and he said, set your house in order, for this time tomorrow you're going to surely die.
Yeah.
And he said, Hezekiah turned his back to the world, turned his face to God, and said, God, I sure would like some mercy. And before that prophet got off the palace grounds, God said, go back, tell Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I'm going to add to your life 15 more years.
Yeah.
I just want you to know God can change his mind. Look at Nineveh, 40 days, Nineveh be overthrown. They repented with sackcloth and ashes, and 160,000 people that didn't know their left hand and their right hand were spared.
That's right.
I'm going with God. He says, and you will not come to me. That's their problem. That you might have life. They got all the reason in the world to come to him, and yet they won't do it. I got to wrap this up. He says, I receive not honor from men. Now they make jokes about him. But I know you, that you have not the love of God abiding in you. He said, I am come in my Father's name, verse 43, and you receive me not. He said, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not to honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Now these were Moses' disciples here. So he puts it in the worst context possible. He says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. Why? For he wrote of me. Do you notice in verse 39? He said, search the Scriptures.
Yeah.
He said, Moses wrote about me. You ain't been searching the Scriptures, he said. And we are going to be able to finish this. Verse 47, Jesus says, for if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? There's just so much more to Jesus.
Yeah.
There's just so much more to this Bible. My little pea brain can't contain it. I mean, if all the things written about Jesus had been written, the world could not contain the volumes of the book.
Right.
We've just got a very small, very minor record of God's Son, and the record's true, the witnesses are true, and the world still stands at naught and will not let him be God. They're going to give him a room. Matter of fact, there's going to be room for him when he comes the next time. He ain't going to have to worry about being born in a manger,
right,
in Bethlehem. I mean, he's coming into Jerusalem. I don't care how many terrorists. I don't care how many Hamas. I don't care how many Palestinians. I don't care how many Jewish people don't want him. He's coming in to the throne of Jerusalem. He's going to set up on the throne of his father David. And God's going to fulfill his promise to David, mm-hmm, that there will not fail one to set up on his throne, because man God couldn't keep that promise because of man's sin. So Jesus Christ, seed of David, is going to fulfill that promise that God made to David, that there will not fail one to sit upon His throne. That's marvelous that God could do such a thing.
Amen.
Jesus was made of the seed of David. Blind Bartimaeus, as blind as he was. Thou son of David, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Boy, it got the attention of God. He said, what do you want? He said, that I might receive my sight. Buddy, God granted it to him.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'll stop right there. So great a Savior. So mighty a word that we have called a Bible. The record God gave of His Son. A true record, by the way. But we'll stop right there. I hope somebody was helped by this Sunday school lesson.